Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President for Business Development at the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest podcast series comes to you from the 2023 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, where the entire marketing and advertising ecosystem all come together with a laser focus on growth. The conference showcased creative thinking, strategies, and best practices that leading brands have implemented to drive growth by meeting and exceeding their consumers' needs. REB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees about their businesses, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. In episode number 9 of Radio on Main Street at the ANA Masters of Marketing, we listen in to RAB's President and CEO Erica Farber's conversation with Steve Olensky, the CMO Whisperer. Steve is among the most influential journalists, having written for many leading publications, including Ad Age, Adweek, Business Insider, and Forbes. He was aptly named the CMO Whisperer by a former CMO of Walmart because of the trust and advice that he has shared over his career and his position as a confidant to CMOs from America's most influential brands. Listen up.
First of all, I should say happy birthday.
Thank you.
So we didn't even know that, and how wonderful that you're sharing your birthday with us at Radio on Main Street.
It's the best birthday I've ever had. All the previous years combined don't add up to
that. Well, love hearing that. So, I have been told you have an amazing background. You were a reporter with Forbes.
Yep.
And have probably spoken to every CMO that matters, and maybe even doesn't matter.
Well, I think they all matter, but
yes,
I know what
course.
You mean. I know what you mean. Yeah, I've had an incredible career. I'm a college dropout, never taken a writing course in my life, yet somehow made it into Forbes.
And well, how did that happen?
Quite simply, I had an epiphany in my early 30s. I was working in a telemarketing role at Prudential Insurance, talking to people, members of the AARP, which, of course, that's for old people, unlike now.
We don't like the O word.
Exactly. And I just got this epiphany to start writing. And I was fascinated by market. I was always fascinated by marketing and advertising. And I was blessed to have a copywriter take me under his wing and really help guide me and point me in the right direction. And he's one of the three people that I give the most credit to. It's him, my ex-wife, who I very openly and quite honestly give a lot of credit to because she supported me, and a former sister-in-law who supported me and kept pushing me to follow this passion. And my big break came when I was reading a printed version, which tells you how old I am, of Ad Age. And I saw the name of the editor and his email address. His name's Ken Wheaton.
Right.
I still know Ken today. And I figured, what the hell? I'm going to shoot him an email saying, I would like to write something in Ad Age. What's the worst that could happen? And I wrote the email. And it was in what would become my signature style of very conversational, very self-deprecating. Within an hour, I had an email back basically saying, Steve, I get 1,000 emails a day.
But yours?
Yours cut through. What do you want to write about? And to say I was floating on cloud nine would be a massive understatement.
I can only imagine.
And from there, I wrote a piece in Ad Week. And then Forbes came calling and said, we're launching this new section called the CMO Network. Would you be interested? And of course, my first reaction was, do you have the right guy? Like, sure. You know, let me check my schedule. It's Forbes, right? So over the next 10 years, I probably wrote over 1,500 articles.
My goodness.
Interviewed well over 5,000 people. Traveled the world. Went to things like the Grammy Awards and baseball All-Star Games and the Kentucky Derby. And have just rubbed elbows literally and figuratively with not only chief marketing officers, but celebrities and athletes and entertainers. And to this day, my friends, my family, basically all say the same thing. We know who you really are. Like, don't let that head get too big. And I'm a very humble guy to begin with, to even talk about myself. But when I look back, it's just been this incredible thing. And, you know, the lessons that I impart are a couple. One, you don't get anything you don't ask for.
Absolutely.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. If you have a passion, do not be denied, no matter what. I had a lot of skeptics because people put you in a bucket.
Yes.
And one of the hardest things you can ever do in life is change people's perceptions of you. Mm-hmm. When people see, especially when you're at a certain age, and they see you in this box and they see you in this light.
Right.
And then you want to break out of that. Mm-hmm. It took a long time for them to go, oh, this guy might be onto something, you know?
They took notice.
He's writing for Forbes. That's pretty big, you know? And I didn't need the validation, but I'm not going to lie to you, too. It felt good to prove the doubters wrong.
Well, but you earned it. So tell us about the CMO Whisperer.
Yeah, so that came about probably 15 years ago now. I was speaking to the then former CMO, so then CMO of Walmart, named Julie Lyle, and she's a dear friend today, and just in passing, like you and I are talking right now, she just, I was giving her advice on something or counsel, and she just said, in passing, you're like the CMO Whisperer. And something just registered and just stuck.
And it clicked.
And it clicked, and I owned it, and it's my name, and it's my persona, it's my nom de plume, if you will, and it's really who I'm, what I'm known as. That's the CMO Whisperer, and I wear it very, very proudly.
I can see that. I can see that. When you think of CMOs, and we hear so much about this, it's certainly a challenge to be a CMO today when you see the research that says the average CMO is in their position 18 months, 2 years. So that's a challenge because to make anything, to make a change or have an effect, you can't get results overnight.
Right.
So you know the inside, and how do you balance that with these companies are making decisions so quickly, and they all want instant success?
It's a question I get asked a lot, as you can imagine.
I'm sure.
And I've written about it, and I've researched, and I have very strong feelings about it.
Well, let's hear them.
Well, number one is I have a soft spot for CMOs. And when I hear that statistic, it drives me crazy.
It must.
And the reason it does is far too many CEOs and or CFOs do not do their due diligence when it comes to hiring a CMO.
At the beginning.
At the beginning. And what I mean by that is there are different types of CMOs. Do you want a brand CMO? Do you want a performance CMO? Do you want a creative CMO? You have to go by what your brand needs, what your growth goals are. Not just, hey, I have an open spot on my org chart for a CMO. I'm just going to hire the best to see it. It's got to be more due diligence on their part. I'm not saying some CMOs, not every CMO is perfect, of course. But when I see that 24 to 36 month average tenure, that's the first thing I go to. And so many of CMOs who have whispered to me and confided in me, it's that because they're not in the right spot with the right company, with the right growth goals. And then it becomes this, after a year to 18 months, well, you're not working out. Well, if we had talked about, and some of it's on them. So when I coach CMOs, I'll tell them, make sure you do your due diligence about what the company wants.
Ask the right questions.
Exactly. What are your growth goals? What are you looking for from marketing?
And they may not always know.
Exactly. But ask.
Yes.
But ask. Because a CEO, any good CEO and CFO will know we're looking for marketing to do X. If you can get at least that answer out of them, and I'm a CMO candidate, I'll know right then and there if I'm not the right fit or I am the right fit.
Interesting.
It will go such a long way to extending that average tenure. That is the number one reason, without question, that's the number one reason why that tenure is so low on average.
So just being in the wrong job at the wrong time.
Correct. With the wrong company and the wrong people. It's nothing personal. It's not against them. It just drives me crazy because I know CEOs will hire a CFO through a lens. They'll hire a CIO. Through. but they don't do the same due diligence. And I'm not knocking all CEOs who are listening, but you need to look at marketing the same way you look at the others in the C-suite.
You also bring up a good point, and it really, for any position, so many times someone's interviewing us, but we need to interview that company equally.
Yep.
Because we may certainly need the job, but as you say, it may sound like the right job, but in many times it's not going to be a good fit.
It's a great point, and you need, and I've coached and advised CMOs to say, don't be afraid to walk away. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to not take a job. And I get it. You need it. You have a family. And
it's hard to do that.
It's hard to do that. And out of the other side of my mouth, I can say, well, you know, the best time to find a job is when you have a job. But do yourself and them, do the right thing and find out really if it's the right fit.
Right.
You know, versus getting in there and literally could even be 3 months and realizing this is not the right fit. So then they have to start over again, and you have to start over again.
Right. So assuming they're in the right place at the right time, what do you see as the biggest challenges to be in that position today? Because that job has become so enormous.
It has. And it's going to keep growing. And, of course, with what I call the elephant in the room for everybody is AI. So every position is worried, right?
Well, I want to hear about that in a minute.
Okay. What CMOs, in my opinion, need to do is establish a great relationship with the rest of the C-suite, which I know sounds obvious. The CIO and CTO and CMO relationship is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Extremely important with data and AI and everything else that goes through a, quote, system or a platform or technology. They have got to be joined at the hip. That's number one. Number two is with the chief sales officer. Establish how you're going to work together. You should be supporting each other. Now, that's another issue of mine where a lot of organizations look at CMOs as like a sales support. Create your little one-pager, your brochure, and then get out of sales way.
Right.
No. No. In a word, no. And you know this, I'm sure, when there's an economic downturn or a company's not doing well, the first thing to get cut is a marketing budget. And the smartest companies, especially during the pandemic, exactly increased it. P&G, Coca-Cola, they increased it, and people were aghast.
Right.
And their numbers speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's resist the urge. I'm talking to CEOs now. I know you're asking about CMOs, but resist that urge to slash budget. But back to CMOs, have those good relationships with the CIO, CTO, whatever, and the chief sales officer, okay? Also make sure you're given the autonomy and the runway to do your job. Find out explicitly. This goes back to the interview process as well. How much time do I have?
Right.
Will I be able to hire and fire? Will I have total control over my marketing budget? Mm-hmm. Or do I have to go through the chief sales officer? Or I have to go through the CFO? Have that done. Have that in writing 1,000%. Get all that out of the way so you know what you're expected to do over what amount of time. And then it's up to you, right? But
right.
Most CMOs that I know would rather give me that opportunity to sink or swim.
Yep. You mentioned AI, so let's talk about that.
Yeah. It's, as I said, it's the elephant in everybody's room. And it's the number one thing that I talk about on my podcast. And I get everybody's opinion, and it varies wildly.
Right.
It varies from it will have little to no effect to it's a tool, right? But we're still not quite sure what we're doing with it yet. We're going to dip our toe to it is going to change the face of marketing and everywhere in between. My answer is I don't know. But what I do know is this is not, as I call it, a passing fad.
Right. It's not going away.
It's not going away. It's only going to get more prominent. Will it replace some jobs? Absolutely.
Yes, I agree.
But will also open up opportunities for people who know how to use that tool. Mm-hmm. So I know people right now listening and to this and other things are really, you know, scared. What do I do? How do I keep my job?
Right.
And the number one thing I say to you is learn. Keep, never stop learning. Keep trying to understand. Go to conferences. Watch webinars. Follow the leaders who are talking about AI And I had a couple on, and I'll definitely name drop. One of them is David Edelman, who's the former CMO of Aetna. He's now a professor at Harvard. And the other one is Jim Leshinsky. Jim, if you know the history, Jim was at Google, and he coined the phrase zero moment of truth. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
I have heard
it's
that.
It's a very seminal book. Well, he's now at Kellogg at Northwestern, and he teaches a lot about AI.
Right.
Both of them, shameless plug, talked about AI in depth on my show. They had a lot of really interesting things to say, ranging from what I just said about the low end of the spectrum, the baby pool, to the deep end, to somewhere in the middle. My overriding sense is that a lot of CMOs are not even in at the pool. They're outside the fence, watching,
barely
looking.
Barely on the radar.
Barely on the radar. That, to me, is the wrong place to be.
Yes.
Because if you think it's not going to, and already is not impacting everything that you do, everything that we all do, literally as consumers, you might want to look for a new job. Not to sound fatalistic, but that's the truth. And I tell people that. You've got to get involved. You've got to read. You've got to have your staff read. Have somebody dedicated to understanding AI and what it's going to do to not only your business, but every business.
In April, I was at a different conference, and we were talking about AI, and this really changed it for me. They said, you know, we really should think of AI as not artificial intelligence, but added intelligence.
I love that.
And I loved that.
I'm going to steal that.
Okay, please do. I'm stealing it.
And
so.
And that's a great way to look at it. And the operative word is added.
Yes.
Meaning you already have the intelligence. We're going to make you better.
Exactly. So that really changed the whole thought of it to me.
That is very, very deep. Very true. But no, it's a great way to look at it, and it's less threatening.
It is less threatening. I could sit here and talk to you all day, but unfortunately I can't do that. Is there one thing when you look at the future that you're most excited about that we should be thinking about?
Well, I'm going to go back to AI.
Okay.
I really am, and I'm... Look, I'm a big proponent of customer experience, and I think it's the lifeblood of any brand, and the statistics back it up.
Right.
You deliver an optimal best CX, you're gonna succeed. The best CMOs are gonna learn how to tap into AI and to make that CX even better. Online, offline, between the two, digital, I mean, it's everything. Mm-hmm. And what AI is gonna be able to do is just make your CX even better. And the last thing I'll add is, and this is the most simplistic thing I can say, just listen to your customer. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw this stat the other day here at the A&A Masters, or someone said, it showed the gap between what marketers think consumers want versus what consumers want. It is probably my biggest pet peeve of all time, going, I don't care what you think as a marketer.
Right.
And I've told people this, and I'll tell CM, I don't care. I don't care. And it just blows my mind how so many marketers, not just CMOs, think they know what their customers want.
Well, it's like you can have all the data in the world, but if you don't have someone to interpret the data.
But also don't overcomplicate it.
Well,
it's
absolutely
staring you in the face.
Yes. Obviously, we care about the audio space. Here we are at Radio on Main Street. From your perspective, what can we do as media companies to help the CMO in their positions?
It's a great question. And I think what you're doing, what I'm doing, is giving them a platform to not only speak for themselves, but to learn from other CMOs and other marketers.
Right.
Because not everybody can come to an event like this.
Yes.
Right? Very few people in the grand scheme of things can come to like this.
True.
So giving them the platform, one, to speak for themselves, but then two, also to share it, where you can go to a podcast, unless you're charging for it,
right?
Which I'm certainly not.
Well, we are neither.
Right. That's the best thing, I think, from the journalistic side, we can keep doing. Have them on. As much as I like to share my own opinion, and you probably do too, they don't always want to hear from us.
Nope.
They want to hear from the professionals who are on the front lines.
Absolutely.
Doing it. That's the best thing we can do.
Mm-hmm. We have a campaign where we say radio works because. Can you complete that sentence?
Yes. Radio works because of how distracted we are. Mm-hmm. And I thought of this the other day, and thinking about broadcast ads. And I'll ask you this. When you're watching TV and a commercial comes on, do you pay attention or do you go on your phone?
I'm going to take the fifth.
Okay. Which means you go on your phone. But you're on, but you're like so many other people. Where I'm, what I'm getting at is that that TV spot then now becomes an audio spot.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that. So audio, whether it's traditional audio, meaning only audio, or like I'm saying in that context of, yes, you can visually see it, but we're distracted.
Yes.
But we can still hear. Mm-hmm. That's where radio works. Mm-hmm.
I love that description. I'm going to steal that from you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking time to stop by, and I hope you'll let us follow up with you.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
You heard it here. AI is on the cusp of changing marketing forever. It's added intelligence to the intelligence that we all already have. And yeah, it might replace jobs, but it's also going to open up new ones. The time is now to learn versus watch and continue to focus on relationships. Be sure to gain transparency on expectations. Understand that timing and timelines matter, and whether you are a CMO, a CEO, a sales executive, a digital expert, a data analyst, or a programmer, collaboration across departments must walk in lockstep toward the common goal of continuously enhancing the customer's experience. And from the CMO whisperer himself, radio works because of how distracted all of us are. Audio breaks through the distraction that the eyes can no longer see.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.